Amen. We thank God for them. Why don't you stand to your feet? I have a couple of verses I'd like to share with you. How many of you know the weather report was wrong this morning? Can I just say that again? The weather report was wrong this morning. We were ready for catastrophe number three. I went and got my rock salt yesterday and did all that as well. How many of you got new rock salt this morning over the weekend? But this morning it was almost dry. Almost, but I think we're going to get a little something coming sooner rather than later. So we thank God for his grace. If it was raining or snowing, I would still say to God be the glory, as well as if it was sunny and dry, to God be the glory. Amen. I would like to direct your attention this morning to the book of Jeremiah, Old Testament prophet, that you will find, and I want to direct your attention to Jeremiah 23, 23rd chapter, 24th verse. Jeremiah 23rd chapter and the 24th verse. Say amen when you've located the text. Jeremiah 23:24 reads as follows. And I'm going to start with 23. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places? So I shall not see him, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed and I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. Here ends the reading of God's and eternal word. May it edify, may it sanctify God's people. I would that you pray with me on the title of this sermon. You can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you cannot hide. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that these words would not return void, but that they may accomplish that which you intended. May hearts be encouraged, may minds be illuminated, may souls be convicted, I pray. Bless now these words, O God, that they indeed will not return void. Plead the blood of Jesus over everyone under the sound of my voice, and I ask, Holy Spirit, for thine anointing power upon these, your people. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're saying to your church this morning. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for those present and those who are listening virtually by way of broadcast, social media, whatever the case may be. May we all leave not the same as when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You know that I've been walking through scriptures that talks about the secrets or the secret things or even the secret places of God. It's been an opportunity for me to explore the scriptures, and one of the things I always like is doing word studies, just taking a word or a phrase and seeing what the Bible says about that word or that phrase. And so it gives me an opportunity to go into what the Old Testament scriptures say about a given word or phrase, or what the New Testament scriptures say about a given word or given phrase. And so when you Google the word and put Bible with it, Google the word in the Bible, the word secret, you will find various scriptures. I've preached out of many of them already. Old Testament, you will find both in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, certain statements about the secret things of God. In the wisdom literature, you will find certain statements about the secret things of God. And the prophets, the major and the minor, you will find certain things written about the secret things or the secret places of God. I've already said perhaps the most notable of these secret things and or secret places is what is said in Psalm 91, that God would hide you under the cover of his wings, and in the secret places will he hear you and attend to your cry. It is a statement of promise that God will provide and God will protect. Both in the New Testament, we find statements about the secret things of God. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find what I believe to be the most prevalent and most pertinent of these statements, which is in the Gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, in which Jesus says, "Enter into your secret places, and the God who hears in secret will reward you openly." Now, I don't think we can get many more specific than these statements that are written in both Old Testament and New Testament about the promise of God's protection and the promise of God's provision. Both Psalm 91 gives me a statement of his protection, that no matter where I am and no matter what I'm going through, he who abides in the presence of the Lord, God will take care of that person. Amen, someone. Our job is to figure out how to abide in the presence of the Lord. The Gospels in Matthew, particularly among them, gives us a very clear statement about his provision, that God who sees in secret will provide, will reward you openly. And I don't know about you, but I've had some open blessings in my life that I could not describe why I got them or from where I got them. I saw where they came from materially down here, but when I thought about it, I said, "Lord, where did that come from? I didn't see that coming." Has anybody ever had an experience with God where God just literally opened up the storehouse of heaven, poured out a blessing that you were not worthy enough, or did you not have room enough to receive, and you simply scratch your head and say, "Lord, I didn't see where that came from, but I thank you for it." Amen. Because when you get these blessings, you don't know where they come from, other than you know God made a way out of no way. The least we can do is give God a little praise, a little glory, and a little honor. Amen, somebody in the sanctuary. Listen, we tend to think of the magnanimous as unforeseen or undeserved blessings. But I always like to say, don't overlook the small stuff. Amen. Just getting up another day may be small to some of us, but how many of you know it's big to a lot of other folk around the world? Just having some food in the refrigerator, on the stove, in your stomach is small to some of us because we take it for granted. But how many of you know there are folk who spend 8 hours a day just trying to get some water and some bread to feed their families and to make it through another day? So we ought not take for granted shelter, food, and water. Small things, but how many of you know it's a big thing when it comes from God on high. I want to end this little three-part sermon series, if you would, about the secret things, the secret places of God. I've been abundantly clear, I think, about the protection of God, Old Testament particularly, Psalm 91 explicitly. I've been particularly clear about the provision of God, New Testament particularly, Matthew's Sermon on the Mount explicitly and specifically. I want to end this part three with this particular text in Jeremiah, but also share several texts like it. In Jeremiah 23:23, God makes a statement to his prophet Jeremiah. And he says, "Jeremiah, am I a God that is near at hand? In some versions, it's an interrogative. It's a question. But in other versions, it's a declarative. It's a statement. It isn't, am I a God that is near at hand? Question mark. No, in my version, New King James, and probably in yours, it is a declarative statement. Jeremiah, I am a God that is near at hand. And that statement is important because we could think that God is just some big divine provider that is way out there. And I always like to say, even in the cosmology of the Israelite theology, I should say, in the theology of the Israelites, one would conclude that they had names for God that were both out there, and they had names for God that was right here next to me. Elohim is a name that is for God in the Israelite theology that's way out there, a big God. Elohim, El, God, Okim, the God of all gods. And so the Israelites are looking up at the stars and the creations and saying, God is bigger than anything I see. And so Elohim is bigger than the one who created anything that they may say created that. If they say that God created the mountains, my God is bigger than that God. If they say their God created the oceans and the waters, then my God is bigger than that creation. It is a statement of comparative theology, but it's also a statement that, in my understanding, there's nothing bigger than the God I serve. Amen, somebody. So the Israelites say Elohim. They say El Shaddai. God who fights battles and carries into war. The Lord, thy God, El Adonai. But then there are some personal statements for God. One of those personal statements for God is they usually start with the word Jehovah. Not El, but Jehovah. El Ohim, El Shaddai, El Adonai, the big God. But when you say Jehovah, it's intimate. Come on, somebody. When you say Jehovah, it's who I know for myself. So when David prays his prayer in Psalm 23, he says, Jehovah, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, Jehovah Rapha, Rohi, God is my shepherd. That means, I don't know about you, but I've come to know him for myself, that he has shepherded me through the valleys of the shadows of death, and he's never left me alone. Jehovah Rohi. When they throw the tree into the bitter waters of Marah, when Moses and the other Israelites at the beginning of their exodus from Egypt, they come to this experience where God creates and he stirs the water and makes it sweet to drink. And then they say, Jehovah Yireh, God is my provider. They say, Jehovah Rapha, God is my healer. They say, Jehovah Tsidkenu, God is my righteousness. It is a statement that he isn't just out there, but he is right here with me. How many of you know, Grandma used to say it this way, he's my rock, my walking stick and my walking cane. That means there's nowhere I can go that God isn't right there with me. David said it this way, if I ascend to the highest mountain, you're right there. And if I go down into the lowest valley, you're right there. How many know there's no experience you can have in your life where God isn't able to find you? There's no experience that you can have in your life that God cannot reach down and touch you. There's no illness that you can have in your body that God cannot wave his hand and heal you. There's no hunger you can have that God cannot speak and bread falls down from heaven and God feeds you. There's no thirst you can have that God cannot open a rock and bring water out of a rock and quench your thirst. Come on, someone in the sanctuary. Have you come to know him for yourself? And that's really what God says to Jeremiah in this text. He says to Jeremiah, am I a God that is afar off? But he says, I'm not a God who's afar off, but I'm a God who is at hand. That's good news for the believers of God. And then God says to Jeremiah, can anyone hide himself or herself in secret places? This is that phrase that has confounded me. Can anyone hide in secret places? Look at what the end of verse 24 says. So I shall not see him, says the Lord. Do I not feel heaven? And do I not feel earth? God is saying, as big as I am, there's nowhere you can go where you can hide from me. In other words, God is saying, you can run, but you can't hide. Come on, someone. God is saying that no matter how smart you are, I'm smarter than you. No matter how big you are, I'm bigger than you. No matter how much you can run, I'm faster than you. No matter where you go, I can find you. No matter what you're thinking, I already know the thoughts of your heart. No matter what you're feeling, I already know what's inside of your spirit. You can run, but you cannot hide. And for all of us, that's both good news and that's both bad news. Let me start with the bad since you asked me. Thank you. The bad news is that when we think we're getting away with something, can I say it again? When we think we're getting away with something, I'm not talking about those who may you presume are coming against you. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you now, me. I want everyone to say me. I'm talking about me now. When I think I may be getting away with something, don't you know Jeremiah 23, 24 tells me that there's nothing I can do that God doesn't already know what I'm doing. In point of fact, he knows what I'm doing even before I think I'm big enough and bad enough to do it. Can I say it again? And sometimes I may get a bit beside myself. Yeah, I don't think I'm the only one. I may think, yep, I can do this, and I can go here. I can do this, and I can do that. I'm going to expand. I'm going to use the proverbial me, not me, because I don't do a lot of drinking and smoking. But let's say if I did, I can smoke this, and I can drink this. But how many of you know God knows what I'm drinking? He knows if I got it on the rocks or if I don't have it on the rocks. He knows what's in between the paper and what's not in between the paper. Come on, somebody. He knows what I'm smoking. He knows what I'm drinking. He knows where I'm going late at night, early in the morning. There's nothing I can do that God doesn't already know. So you might as well just forget about the fact that you think you're hiding it, because you can hide it from everybody else, but you cannot hide it from God. God knows. And he says, can anyone hide himself in secret places? Point of the matter is that there's nothing secret in the presence and eyesight of Almighty God. And we may get away with whatever for a little while. But how many of you know the scripture says, what is done in secret will be brought out in the light. Listen to a few of these scriptures that I read for you today. Matthew chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 4, verse 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Luke chapter 8, verse 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and made abroad. John chapter 7, verse number 4. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the the world began. These verses give you and me a sense of warning, if you would, that the things that we may find ourselves doing, God knows all about it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it be evil. These scriptures are reminders of God's providence and God's power. Psalm 64:2 suggests that God not only knows the secret things, but reveal the secret things in the presence and from the presence of Almighty God. Psalm 31:20 says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. These scriptures are reminders to us that God discerns the intents of our hearts, and God knows the things that we do, the things that we think, and even the things that we say, whether it is of him or not of him. And so the challenge for you and me is to figure out how to conform our thoughts and our actions to the ways of Almighty God, that they may please him and not displease him. And the statement that is often said, if you really want to know the character of a man or woman, is not what they do in public, but is what they do in private, that bespeaks the character of a man or a woman. And so I challenge you and I challenge myself to really think about the things that we do, the things that we say, the places that we go, and think about how they are viewed from the vantage point of Almighty God, who sits high and looks low. God knows the secrets of our hearts. And in point of fact, that's some may say that's bad news because you can't get away with anything. But the point of fact, there's some good news in that side too. Because he knows the secrets of our hearts, he has pity on us, I believe. And that when we humble ourselves, even when we've made our mistakes, how many know that God is a God who looks beyond our faults and sees our needs and gives us another chance? I'm so grateful today that even when I thought I was getting away with something and God may have shed the light on me and exposed me and uncovered, God still says, I love you and I want to give you another chance. How many know God is a God of a second chance and a God of a third chance? Because who among us have never sinned? Come on, someone. Who among us have never done something of which we have been ashamed about? Who among us have never gone a place maybe when we look back over we wish we had not gone there? Who among us have ever drank something or smoked something or done something of which we are ashamed? And yet when we confess our sins unto God, 1 John chapter 1 verse number 9 says, if we confess, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our unrighteousness and to cleanse us from all of our sins. So grateful am I for God's grace and God's mercy. Come on, someone. So grateful am I that God looked beyond my stuff and gave me a second chance. So grateful am I that God picked me up and turned me around and said, I'm not going to hold it against you, but I'm going to wash you and give you another opportunity to get it right. How many of you are grateful today that God looked beyond your stuff and gave you another chance? He is a God of another chance. And today I say, thank you, God, that you know all about me. Thank you, God, that you see my secret places. Thank you, God, that you know all of my dirty laundry. Thank you, God, that you see what's under my rug and in my closet. Thank you, Lord, that even when I'm naked and standing before you, you look beyond. You look beyond and you say, I want better for my child. I want better for my son and I want better for my daughter. And so God knows the secret things. In some ways, that ought to be action for you and me, that he discerns our hearts. And all God really wants of us is a humble and contrite heart. Because guess what? If you're humble and contrite, then you won't be arrogant and proud. And it is when you are arrogant and proud that you think you can get away with stuff. Can I just use some examples? The president's fixer, what's his name? Michael Cohen. All these years, thought he was getting away with some stuff. Paid off Stormy Daniels. Just go away. President thought he can do some stuff, say some stuff on buses and nobody was listening. But what was done in secret, God brought it to light. And all God is saying that when you're exposed, just humble yourself. Ask for forgiveness. But don't be like the president. I never lie. I know everything. And there's nothing that can be done that wouldn't be done without me. In point of fact, this president almost makes himself God. But when I look around him, all the king's horses and all the king's men are falling one by one. Everybody that he put into place to try to protect him and shield him, God is bringing them down one by one. And I'm so grateful that when I think they're getting away with it, I'm so glad God reminds me they can run, but they cannot hide. Sooner rather than later, what goes up, come on somebody, must come down. And what goes around is going to come back around. I'm so glad today that when folk are thinking they're getting away with it, when they think they're getting over on you, that God will step into the situation and God will straighten out the crooked and smooth over the rough. Has God ever done that for anybody in the sanctuary? You thought your enemies was getting away with it. You thought your naysayers were on top of it. But when God got ready, God stepped into the situation and God worked that thing out. And all you can do is say, Lord, I thank you. But as I go to my seat, I'm going to leave you on this point. Not only does God know the secrets, not only will God deal with the secrets, but I also want you to know as I go to my seat that God will also know the secret desires of your heart. Psalm 37, verse number 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he may give you the desires of your heart. Listen now, there are desires that nobody knows but you and God. There are desires for your family that you've not told anybody but God. There are desires for your marriage. Lord, if you would just work on this for me, work on me in this situation. You haven't told your spouse, you haven't told your husband, you haven't told your wife, but how many know God is working it out? Because he hears in secret. There are some things that are going on your job, and you've got desires for promotion, for advancement, maybe even for something greater than the job you're in. You haven't told anybody about it, but all you've got to do is tell God all about it. And I'm a believer that God, he hears your secret things. God knows your secret desires. So there's nothing that I can think that God doesn't already know about it. That's why if you just delight yourself in the Lord before you get your blessing, or while you're praying for your blessing, you know what it means to delight yourself in the Lord? That means when you wake up in the morning and you don't have what you've been praying for, but you still got joy on the inside because you know that God did it yesterday, and if he did it yesterday, he can do it again today. That's why I delight myself in the Lord. I put a smile on my face and I say, thank you, God, anyhow. Until my blessing come, I'm going to praise you. Until my breakthrough happens, I'm going to rejoice in you. Until I get over on the other side, I'm still going to lift my hand and say hallelujah. Until I get that promotion, I'm still going to bless you.
like I've never blessed you before. Until my enemies are gone, I'm still gonna wake up and give you glory. I'm gonna delight myself in the presence of God, because I know that the God who hears in secret will reward openly. And so God says in Jeremiah 23:24, I feel the earth. I feel it up. There's no crack or crevice that I cannot get to. I fill it up. And because I fill it up, I want you to know there's nothing you cannot do, think, or say that I don't hear you, says the Lord. And that's good news, because when my enemies all around, yours, mine, whomever, when I got sickness that the doctor says is pervading my body, when I don't know where my end is gonna meet, can I go down somebody's road today? When I don't know how this thing is gonna work out, I need to know that there's nothing I can think, nothing I can say, nothing I can do, no desire that I have that God does not hear it. And because God hears it, he'll step into my situation and he'll work it out for my benefit and for his glory. And so there's both good news and challenging news in God's statement to Jeremiah. You can run, but you cannot hide. I am God. I am near at hand. I'm not afar off. I'm not a God who cannot get to you. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not feel the heaven and feel the earth? I'm so grateful that the God I serve is everywhere at the same time when I need him to be in my situation. Somebody give God a praise offering in the name of Jesus. God bless you. God keep you is my prayer. Everyone standing to their feet. Everyone standing to their feet. Every head bowed and every eye closed with me. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the veracity of your word, the truthfulness of your word. Lord, you are everywhere at the same time, and at the same time, you are everywhere. Even inside of my mind, even inside of my heart, even inside of my spirit. And so on this Lord's Day, I pray that these words will accomplish that which you intended. May somebody be convicted, but also be humbled. And in humbling ourselves before thee, that we, O God, will come, surrender ourselves and be naked. Lord, you said to Adam, Adam, where are you? What are you wearing? You got leaves on your body. When I created you to be naked before me. Nothing between you and me, God says. And so I thank you, Lord, that you want that relationship with us. You don't want anything between us and you. Clothes, secrets, whatever. You are our best friend. You stick closer than a brother. Jesus, you died for us. Shed your blood for us. And for that we say, thank you, Lord. And so continue to cover us right now under your blood. And help us to understand the power of your word. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. If there's someone here who doesn't know you in the sanctuary or even on the screen, even on the Facebook or YouTube, Lord, if there's someone who's listening right now, Lord, I pray that they would stretch their hands to thee and that they would understand that you will grab their hand. And you would cover them and protect them and provide for them. So, Lord, draw someone here today closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say, amen.
and amen. Come on, deacons, deaconess, clergy. Help me extend this invitation to discipleship. We offer. Is there anyone here who does not have a church home? We would love for you to come join our church if you don't have a church home. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. If you don't have a church home. But here's the most important thing. Not just about church home. Membership. The most important thing is about relationship to God. And so on today, I pray that if you don't have that relationship, we would love to share that relationship with you today. If you're here, ma'am or sir, step out to the aisles and give us your hand and give God your heart. Come on, gentlemen, keep singing. Anyone here? Anyone here? Anyone here?
We offer.
Anyone here? Anyone here?
My sister. He will.
God bless you. You may be seated. Oh, why don't you come?
Come on.
Why don't you come?
Come on.
Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord.
To Christ.
Stay right there. To Christ.
Oh, yeah, yeah. To Christ.
Listen, you don't have to come publicly, but the Lord does want you to come.
To Christ.
The Lord desires your heart, and the Lord desires your spirit.
To Christ.
If you want to be baptized and you've never been baptized before, God is saying, won't you come down the aisle and give the preacher your hand? Listen.
Come on,
if you need special prayer, step into the aisles and grab the hands of one of these men or women who are standing. They'll be more than happy to pray with you, pray for you, in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you already know the Lord for yourself, say it with the choir. Say it with the choir. To Christ. Say it.
To Christ.
Open your mouth. Lift up your voice. To Christ.
To Christ.
One more time.